and I can't find out where I am. Here I am. Let's do this thing. I'm in the wrong playlist. Here we go.
Hello, this is Rough Cut, the show by an American and an Australian sounding like an Indian person. Recorded April 12, 2013, with your host, Jake Wesley, and Ed Gamble. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rough Cuts, the music... The show that helps you use Control X in the most inappropriate way possible. And how long can I use this stupid accent? I don't know.
And scene.
This is a music review. This is honestly terrible. This is a music review podcast by two Indian guys, apparently, today. It is recorded Friday, April 12th, 2013. My name's Daryl Campbell. I'm joined by Jake Wesley. Jake Wesley, welcome back.
Hello, and I'm pretty sure we're getting hate mail from Kuthar Pali from Big Bang Theory.
Or Indians.
Or Indians. With
any other Indians.
The actual Indians, not the Native Americans, because the Native Americans is the proper term. So.
Or curry restaurant owners.
And we're being racist. So, hello, people.
I'm kidding. Anyway.
We do it in fun. We do it for love.
We love you long time.
Yes, we do. We do love you. We give you a big hug and maybe kisses. If you're my type, ladies.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, if you haven't noticed, this is we're recording this on Friday instead of Saturday for Dale. Recording this on Friday because yesterday we had to end a little short, but we're coming back and we're doing it again. So it's gonna be fun, people.
It is gonna be fun. How much of Rough Cuts can we recreate for word for word? Hopefully a lot of it.
So far we haven't done a good job of it.
We got a different direction. Alright. Which is fine. This is a better direction.
Yes. Our intro yesterday, we were Hispanic. No. I'm kidding. No, we weren't.
Chinese.
No. Now that we're racist.
Now we're going to get hate by all being racist.
Angry missiles from North Korea.
Hey, you can take all of those angry missiles. I don't think they can fire them. I don't think they can't figure out how to turn them upside down.
And if they even figure out, they're going to get errors because they're using Windows 8. So,
hey, I use Windows 8. Shut up.
I do too, so I can't really say much. All right. Well, let's not talk about Windows 8. Let's not talk about missiles. Let's talk about music.
Do we want to jump straight into the thing?
Well, the thing we usually do.
Hey, what the hell are you listening to?
That was really quiet.
It was. Can you speak louder, listener person?
I just want
to hear you.
There we go. Oh, do you want me to play it again?
Oh. Well, why not?
Hey, what the hell are you listening to?
This is
there we go. I can hear you now.
Anyway.
It is. It's an experimental show today. Yes, this is the part of the show where we talk about what we're listening to in music. Dale's as always, is going first. Mr. Dale.
And if I can figure out how to control my nose. This. Oh my gosh.
Did someone steal your nose?
They did. I got your nose. Anyway.
I get it back.
For everyone listening to this, we are not drunk. It is 8 in the morning here, and although I was saying before the show that I am actually tempted to go downstairs and get a beer. But anyway, that's a different story.
And it's my last day before a 7-day work week, so it's going to be drinking.
Always. Anyway, there's an Australian artist that I've been listening to lately called Kate Miller Heigl. She's called. Oh. No, her name is Kate Miller-Heike. And her, I think this was her second full-length album. Like, she's done some EPs. Do I sound really weird to you? I sound weird in my own head.
You squeaked.
I did. I thought I did. I sound really weird in my head.
You squeaked.
I sound really weird in my head. Anyway. Like that.
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Once again, we are not drunk.
I'm high off caffeine. There's a difference. All right. And her second full-length album called Curiosa? Curiosa? See, I keep doing this stupid squeaky.
Curiosa.
Huh?
Curiosa.
Curiosa.
Curiosa and Curiosa.
And she knows how to write a catchy hook. Even in a song... I keep doing the squeaky thing, sorry. Jeez. Stupid nose. Who needs a nose?
I think he knows. Sorry.
She knows how to write a hook, and she is a pop, electro-pop artist. So, it is... Wow. Squeaky. I don't know.
Okay, we get it. We're just squeaky.
I'm just...
You're squeaky clean today.
I'm squeaky clean today. And even in songs that are meant to be, you know, softer songs, she does it in there as well. But she writes it to suit the mood of the song. So, if it's in depth, it's in depth. So, and if it's poppy, she'll write a poppy tune, if that makes sense. So...
If she's in the mood for pop, she does pop. If she's not, she does classical. I don't know.
And if she's in the mood for both, she does classical crossover.
And she is on the iTunes store in the US.
Ah.
I found that. So, oh, I see which album you're talking about, where she's kind of dressed like older Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right. Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. So there's a song she does called Are You Effing Kidding Me?
Yep. There's one called...
That's awesome.
Can't Shake It, Last Day on Earth. That's what I'm talking about. You go from Can't Shake It, which is the poppy thing that I'm talking about, to Last Day on Earth, which is a serious song. So, So I recommend going listening to it. I listened to the whole album. It's all fantastic. So there you go.
Right.
So, Jake, okay. What are you listening to while I mute my microphone to try and sort out my nose?
Okay, you do that. I am listening to two things. The first one I'm going to talk about is the new single from Miss Demi Lovato, who is probably one of the only Disney singers that started at Disney and went over to... full-on pop star, and I think went better from it, and has actually done really well. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, but then there's Miley Cyrus. I'm like, I don't really care for Miley Cyrus that much. Sorry, all these little girls listening. But I prefer her because she's kind of matured matured more over time than... many artists who have come from the Disney genre and done it quicker. And she just released her first single off her new album called Heart Attack, which is a pretty one of my favorite songs she's done, where it's just the composition of the song is very interesting and changes in the little of the song, but it still matches the direction the song goes and how it's played out. And she displays her vocal range really well with this, with how iTunes calls it, filled with passion and power. But still with this vulnerable touch into her voice. And speaking of her album, it's coming out May 14th, which I'll probably choose for my album review that week. So, expect that coming soon. And if you haven't heard her new single, it's called Heart Attack, which has a really weird video to it. And I don't know if you've seen the video, Dale, or not, but it's it's just it's not my favorite video because it's all it is her walking slowly to the camera with her hair blowing in the wind. And it's hair's going everywhere, and then all of a sudden she's blackface, and I'm like, oh my god, she's a minstrel. And then she start, her hands are dirty, and she rubs it all around her neck, and her neck gets dirty. I'm like, ah, you're getting yourself dirty!
Ah, go wash yourself.
Go shower now! But, no, not the best video. But, really, really good song. And the second song, Second selection of music that I've been listening to has been songs taken from the Phantom of the Opera. And yes, I am talking about the actual musical, if you didn't know that already. But I've just been really interested in listening to it. And not like not just the songs from the... not just the songs from the movie version. I'm talking about, like, the actual original cast production and the tracks getting there. For, like, featuring Sarah Brightman as the original Christine. Mm-hmm. And then I keep forgetting the guy who played the Phantom originally, though. But really, it's a really, like, very talented cast. And these are very talented people. And they recently... over the past couple of years, they've celebrated their 25th anniversary of the musical that was composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And my two favorite songs on this on Earth, my two favorite songs off of this album and composition musical is "Think of Me," which is probably the most popular song to come from it. And it's been covered by many artists. There's even been a pop cover of it by American Idol alum David Archuleta. He did a pop cover of it, and it was very interesting. He didn't do the at the end, but it was an interesting spin on it, and I really appreciated it. But the second one is the theme, main theme, the Phantom of the Opera, which I think is just. It's just awesome and like dark, gritty, but with powerful vocals. And the ending with the character Christine going into a really high register is just chilling. So that's that. That's Phantom of the Opera and Demi Lovato. Two completely different types of music, but folks.
I'm watching this heart attack video. It is weird.
Now, don't get me wrong. She's a very pretty girl, but I want you to like have some sort of plot in a video when I see a video done. I don't really like the songs, and this is what many K-pop songs have done and that failed at is where they'll do a video and they'll only do a dance video. And I mean, I like watching dancing, but I don't. I want it to like go somewhere, and if it doesn't go anywhere, it's like. Mm. But for this video, it's just her singing with the band and getting herself dirty, dirty, and dirtier. That's about it.
There's something wrong with that, by the way?
Oh, no, there's nothing. Never mind. Shut up. But I just like my videos going somewhere, not just like...
Rubbing like, yourself
like,
with...
Ooh, yeah. No, I don't like that. That is my reputation of videos. Is they go,
I'm so glad we don't have you on webcam because I'm sure you'd be demonstrating how that works right about now.
Yes, I did demonstrate it, and I'm like, okay. Okay. All right, now I'm scaring myself. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on to a sound clip that sounds a bit like this.
Topic of note. Oh, the topic of notes. Don't you know? It's the part of the show, and now I'm
now it's doing again. Welcome to Accent Week.
Stop it. Stop it. We got a theme this week, yes. This is part of the show where we pick a topic that we talk about, and it's a little different than usual because we've only really done it once where it kind of pertained to, like, our choice of, like, genres, songs, and whatever. But this week we are asking each other a question that relates to some of our favorite songs, and if you are listening at home, we would like to know your opinion on this as well. So I'm going to ask the question, and then you can send it to us, your answer, like by emailing us at roughcutspodcast@gmail.com. And the question is, Dale, are you ready?
I'm sitting down, yes.
Okay, yes. Are you sitting comfortably?
Hang on.
This might...
There you go.
Okay.
Today I wasn't sitting comfortably. Now I am.
Yes. All right. For 500 points, name three songs that you will always listen to no matter what mood you're in.
Okay. How many weeks was this in the doc for?
About a month.
And I didn't prep for it.
Mm.
Yay for me.
Good job.
Squeaky thing again.
Oh, my lord.
Wow.
Enough! Enough with the squeaky!
With the squeaky! No squeaky for you!
On a side note, I found out I can get the Phantom of the Opera book free on iTunes.
Alright.
Why was I looking? I don't know.
I don't know either why. Actually, might be interesting.
We never. You never know why. Why we? I think it's not. Obviously, you can't. I mean, you can read music, but you can't actually like physically read
you
it.
You can
like,
read it and then sing it to yourself. Does that help?
Yes, I believe it's just the story version of it, not the musical version. So
there you go. All
right, but continue.
Continue. Actually, I said this on the recreation on the original episode. I'm actually changing my answer.
Okay.
Well, it's the same artist. So, The Attic, who are another electro-pop duo, actually. There's two of them, two males. And all of their electro stuff is just fantastic, if you can actually find it anywhere anymore. I think they've actually pulled everything from iTunes, because I tried looking, and I couldn't find any of it on iTunes. So,
is any other album's name called like In the Red?
No.
The Attic.
The Attic.
Chill and boost your confidence.
No.
Okay, that's not it. But go ahead, continue.
Their song from 2007 called Remember Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic song, and am I muted? No, I'm not. It's just fantastic. It's one of those songs is where you can listen to it in a bad mood, and it'll lift your mood, and if you listen to it in a good mood, it'll still keep you in that good mood, and maybe improve your mood even further.
It'll heighten you.
It'll heighten your mood. It'll get you to that peak. Oh, God. It'll make you get to that peak quicker. That's not what I was meant to say.
That's fine.
It's fine? Right.
Get to your peak quicker.
Quicker than a cup of coffee. Anyway.
Okay.
So if you could find it, I'd recommend listening to it. Remember Tomorrow by The Attic. And I tried doing the, you know, in the albums section, you click on that in the store, and it says, couldn't find Remember Tomorrow in the iTunes store, so. There you go. Try looking on YouTube or something like that.
Yeah, there's no, on, US store does not have the iTunes for them either, so. Oh, what about your second choice, Mr.
My second choice? Scrolling down my iTunes is not Rough Cuts. Anyway,
we do music? Oh, well, we talk about it.
We talk about it. It's in my library. Actually, covers-wise, Joe Cocker. I'm just a big, big, big Joe Cocker fan.
Okay.
And his cover of.
I'm glad you put Joe in front of Cocker.
Yes, I'm same. A huge Cocker fan. Really? Really? Is this all we got down to? Alright.
Oh, got the sound clip. Okay, no.
Yes! Alright.
I'm kidding.
Play that back to me, will we? Alright.
If I could, I would.
I gotta go back and keep capturing things.
Yes.
And re-import them because iTunes freaked out again, so.
Oh, brilliant. But Joe Cocker.
Joe Cocker, and I'm a huge Squeeze fan as well. And I actually called in to Coverbuild and requested this one. And it got played. Yay. Along with my voicemail, which sounded really, really dumb. But anyway, play on. So that's Tempted by Joe Cocker from Civilized Man in 1984 of all years.
Ooh.
What else? Another one. Jeez.
Oh, I just saw a very disturbing album art from him.
Is it actually it was just Cocker? Anyway,
it looks like he's. Oh my god! No, it looks like he. It looks like he's making the duck face.
Ooh.
If you know what that is. What was the song called again?
Tempted.
I'm trying to find it here on iTunes. So, why don't I just search?
That might help. Just easier.
So, what about this song makes you makes you really pumped about it?
It's just the beat. It's just you know Joe Cocker and his Leave Your Hat On and how he uses that beat all the time. Well, not really that particular beat, but you know that same style. It's just that style. It's just there's something about his style that I like. So.
Okay.
So many songs.
Also, if you search Tempted by itself on iTunes, you get a whole slew of disturbing things pop up.
Ooh, really?
Like, you get all the songs. Like, Squeeze was the first one that popped up, was the artist, because you said it was he did a cover of it, right?
Yeah, Squeeze was the original. Or did they do a cover?
Oh. Okay. And then a couple lines down, it shows the romantic audiobooks.
What doing Squeeze will do to you when you do an iTunes search.
Oops. Okay. And that guy oddly looks like John Travolta. But alright, so
ew,
what about your third?
Gross.
Yeah, I know. Well, not the bloated John Travolta. He's not looking at you and going, "You wanna touch my ring?
You can touch my hair. Don't touch my hair.
Touch my hair. Yeah. All right, now grasp it. Okay. All right, and your third song?
Wow, third song is a hard one.
Oh.
Wow.
That's what she said. Oh!
Snap.
And we're on a roll on a Friday, folks.
Rolling on a Friday is the best way to do it. Wow, that has got to be hard. Jeez. Shite. You know, it would have helped if I prepped for this. You're probably going, thank God it's taking forever.
Oh, I've already got my three picked out.
Oh, wow. This is why you started with me. Jeez.
Yeah, because I want to make sure you suffer.
I gotta say, I don't know who this is by. This is off a compilation album.
Uh-huh.
And it's another cover of all things, so. It doesn't say who it's by. That is helpful. So I'm just clicking through. It is by Jewel. And it's her cover of Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah, please don't judge me.
Oh! Okay, that's funny.
Really?
That was originally one of my three.
Wow, really?
not Jewel's version, but Sweet Home Alabama.
Ah,
was one of my three choices.
That is strange, huh?
So okay, I gotta use my alternate.
Yeah, you're gonna use your number four now. Boost that up.
Number four, boost up. You're promoted. Yes.
Alright. Da 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 da. Anyway. Yeah, it's just. Something about that cover just puts an interesting spin on it. So there you go. It's one of those songs that makes time fly, and that's some of my criteria. I need to put together a list of my favorite songs. So
yeah, and speaking of Jules, she actually just released a greatest hits album on my birthday of this year.
Oh.
February 1st,
2013. There you go.
Yeah. So awesome for you, Jewel. Congratulations for that. And I believe that's your three songs.
I believe that is my three. So, Jake, you're going to take a hell of a lot less time than me. What's your favorite
song?
Oh,
that depends.
All right.
So, I'm going to go around the spectrum a little bit. There's three. Yeah, sort of different. They're pretty different. First one was the most recent one, which is it is a Bruno Mars song that every time this song comes up, I always listen to it because it's quick, simple, and it's awesome to listen to. It's his song "Runaway Baby," which is only like 2.5 minutes long, but it's probably my all-time favorite song by him, with the exception of "Gorilla." For more information, go to the very first episode of Rough Cuts.
Or go to youtube.com/user/carbo350 and look for
my parody version of it. Thank you for pointing that out.
Shameless plug.
Yes, thank you. And I didn't even plug it. So the thing about the song that really gets me is that the song starts out with this awesome guitar riff. It's just, it has this like sort of like a James Brown feel to it, and it's just, it's fast, the high tempo, and it gets, and once it's over, you're like, what, seriously? Come on. I was getting started with this. And by the way, if you listen to the song live, holy crap, is it awesome.
Huh.
Like, he goes into this dance, the band, if and any song this band does, or this man does, and does it live, is just a performance in itself, because all of the band is dancing along with Bruno while they're performing their instruments. Not the drummer, because, well, you can't really dance that much. He's on the just... drummer. You kind of just, like, go with it. It's just really interesting, and their live arrangements are just brilliant. This version is especially awesome because it's very different to hear on, very different to hear live, but it's very enjoyable. So that's my first song. The second song is any version of the song "Yesterday" by the Beatles.
Huh.
We sang this in high school when I was in choir. And we did the Boys to Men arrangement, which is completely a cappella. And it's one of my favorite versions because because of the vocal complexity to it when you put it in an arrangement like that. But I also really like the original, which is by Paul McCartney and John Lennon, where it's just on a guitar and it's just one guy singing. And it's simple, and very and emotional, and you know, there's not many people in the world who do not know what this song is, and thank God that they know it, so because it's a musical gem, and it should be like highlighted, like it should be one of those things where like if you're not a big music buff and you get into music, it's one of the songs you have to listen to, because it's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take a moment to savor that. Yeah. Okay. Now my third choice was gonna be "Sweet Home Alabama" by Lynyrd Skynyrd, which I could still technically do, but I mean that's pretty. It's a pretty self-explanatory song. Once you hear that guitar riff, you're done. You're ready to go. I'll switch to another one of my favorite bands, though, for the third one, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. and their song Give It Away.
Ooh, which yes.
Which I actually requested for Coverville as well. Or actually TMS on cover for Coverville, the TMS bit. And it is just the most bizarre but awesome song in the world to me.
It's just
because
is it pointless or
it's like you read the lyrics. You're like, what is he talking about? Like, out here, let me pull
it away.
The,
give it away now. Give it away.
But I think I have an idea what he's talking about. But let's read a little bit of the lyrics, shall we?
Oh, this again.
Yes, yeah, this is the part of the show where we pick a song and we read lyrics. No, I do not want the bass.
Lyrics read.
Lyrics read. Okay. Okay. Seriously, load. Damn it. Load. Also, this video, if you've ever seen it, is completely bizarre. I'm like, what the hell is going on? First off, they're all in their underwear. Like, okay, this is already disturbing. But yeah, it's just like if you're on something, like if you're high off something, then you're gonna be like, and you're gonna enjoy the video. But if you're watching it's clean or sober, you're just like, I feel a little dirty. So, all right. So, the whole like the only thing I know of the song is give it away, give it away, give it away now, and then what I gotta give it to your mama, what I got you gotta give it to your papa, and then those are the only parts of lines that I actually understand. But then he gets into like greedy little people in a sea of distress. Keep your more to receive your less. Unimpressed by material excess. Love is free. Love me, say hell yes. That's my favorite line.
Me say hell yes.
And then he goes like, lucky me swimming in my ability, dancing down on life with agility. And then this is the disturbing line that I read. I just read it right now, and I realize it's disturbing. It's dancing down on life with agility, and then come and drink it up for my fertility.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
And if you watch the video, he pretty much shows you where. Let's not get into that. But the reason I like the song, however, is because it's a very different song, and it's an awesome song. And it's just the instrumentation of it is just like, how do you come up with this? Like, it's just no matter what it is and no matter the subject matter of the song, I gotta listen to it because I'm just enthralled by it. So
there you go.
That's that, folks. You should definitely take a listen to that those three songs. So
yeah,
and
six,
this just
yeah,
and this just in Heidi Klum is now turning 40. Completely
just
random,
now?
But
just, like right now, she's just turned 40.
I don't know, but you know, she turned 40. So, congrats to you, Heidi Klum. You still look like you're 24.
It's 24. Wow, that's a specific age. And also, this just did. I think you dropped from the dock.
Oh, hold on.
Which is helpful.
Back up. Let me hold back up. There you go.
All right, put it back. What you just said.
When my iPad shuts off, it disconnects me, but yeah, so that's the three songs we're listening to. So to review, your three songs were
Remember Tomorrow by The Attic, Joe Cocker Tempted, and Jewel Sweet Home Alabama.
Woo! And then me was Runaway Baby by Bruno Mars, Yesterday by The Beatles, and then was going to be Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd, but instead it's now Give It Away by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So, which, by the way, that Elvis cover that Brian did was amazing. Or Elvis-like cover of that song.
That one by...
That was
Dick
just
Brave
amazing.
Say the word Dick over and over again. Dick Brave of the Heartbeats or something like that.
Yes. And Brian, if you're listening, thank you for that. That was awesome. And now I think it's time for that part of the show
Speaking of awesome.
Yes.
Why do I have K-pop before reviews? That's weird. Anyway, let's move on to this.
It's the part of the show where we pick an album, review it, say whether we like it or not. Now, before we start the review, I'm just going to say right off the bat, the last few weeks, we've picked an album that we pretty much were not impressed with.
Nope.
We've had Justin Timberlake, which we both thought was way too long. And then before that, we had David Bowie, which we all thought was way too weird. And then there was Jon Bon Jovi, which I thought was just too bleh.
I actually quite enjoyed that one, if I recall.
But it helps if you're more contempt with him than me, because I'm just like, really, Bon Jovi? Come on. But I think we can safely say this week we both were impressed. This is the new album by Paramore, which is self-titled, Paramore. And it's... I don't usually listen to their stuff. I was so impressed by their first song that I heard from them, which was Misery Business.
Yeah.
That was, it's one of my favorite songs, and I thought that's pretty ingenious. And I also found out they are from the Tennessee area, so Tennessee connection.
Tennessee connection.
Okay. Which we've had a lot of Australian connections, so, but we've not had that many Tennessee connections, so awesome. Now we have one. Oh, and well, then Justin Timberlake's also from Tennessee, but let's not talk about it because last week was just bleh. This week, however, they really hit it out of the park, Paramore. This was just like a I don't even know what to say.
Okay, first of all, I'll say this: 17 tracks. I was worried.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of songs on here.
It was only 17 tracks, 61 minutes.
Yeah, which is that's actually pretty reasonable.
It's okay, but you see 17 tracks and go, really?
Yeah, and
but
as soon as you hear that, let me make sure I got the right song. Fast in My Car, and that's what she said. But as soon as you hear that first song...
Is that what kids are calling it these days? Anyway, play on.
Yes, Fast in the Car. Whoa. What the heck? Now, sorry. There we go. All right, but like, yeah, I'm going to make sure I'm listening. I'm talking about the right one, but let's see. I think it's... as soon as you hear that drum beat, as soon as it like starts building up, I'm like, that's a great build up to an album.
Yeah.
And was a very good choice to start out with, where it's... It's just he's building up, and then you get really you're getting psyched, and then, Haley, who's the lead singer, is I don't even know, like she's like amazing.
Yeah,
her voice has matured so much since that first album, where it's just now she's got more grit to it, more emotion to it, and it's just and she's very versatile on this entire album, like there's parts where she has her punk. And listen to it, and then she has this amazing R&B voice that she uses in the slower songs, and I'm just like, oh, could you marry me? You are just amazing.
Just stop. But okay, I didn't listen to the first Paramore album.
I didn't listen to the full one either, but.
My first Paramore song was, I want to say, a song called My Hero. Yes. I think.
And,
yes, it is.
I will say that they're...
From the same Misery Business EP.
Mm. So, was it an EP?
Yes.
Oh, really? I thought it was a full album.
Maybe it was an EP first? Maybe.
That shows you how much I pay attention. But yeah, so this is their first album since 2009, which is their album Brand New Eyes. They've had a couple singles since then, or one main single in particular. But they never actually had their full-length album until now, which is fine because they delivered, unlike a few singers and bands we've reviewed so far. Yeah, I was really impressed by this. What was some of your favorite songs on this album?
Some of my favorites, if I could actually pull up the album. Why did that load?
I have no idea.
Because, you know, you just type Paramore in and somehow Dido comes up.
Oh, and just for the record, Riot was not their first album. It was actually this album called All We Know Is Falling. So, but they got really famous off that album, Riot. So,
I gotta say the little interludes they threw in too were actually pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised by these. It doesn't sound like anything they do. It's very every time I hear the guitar, I always think of that the way that guitar goes is it reminds me of the cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
That has to be a ukulele.
Yeah, it has to be. Which, yeah. Big props to y'all for doing that. So,
I think, yeah, that helps break up the album a little bit. And if you pay very close attention to this, you'd see that the interludes actually do break up the album. So you've got the first four, which are the rocking. Mm-hmm. The next five, which are your slower songs.
Yeah.
And then after the second interlude, you've got the three songs that are, you know, just, alright, they're there. And the ones after that, you've got the two songs. And by the way, Future, you don't have to be 7 minutes for 53.
Yeah, but, it's apparently the thing to put a long song in there somewhere.
Of course. Well,
I did like the intro to it, though, where it shows them, like, in their recording session. That was an interesting intro. Like, you don't... There are some songs where, like, whether it's at the beginning or at the end of the song, where they have, like, they kind of show you what, like, the reactions are before or after the song's over in the studio, which... It's not common, but there are many artists who do it, and which is it's fine, and it's not a problem. But it just kind of takes you in and feel like into their like world a little bit on how they like if they hit like a certain note that they just think is awesome, you hear the reaction of the whole production crew, where it's like, oh yeah, and that's just it. Just kind of like says like, yeah, that was good, yeah, but One of my favorite songs on the album, despite the intro to the song, is "Ankle Biters," because you can hear that in the background, can't you? Which it starts off really weird, but once like the main riff of the song comes in, it's just I really like it, and I like how they go you ankle biters in the song, so. That was very enjoyable. There, still the lead single, "Still Into You," is really good as well. Like you said, the interludes are just brilliant.
The first four tracks were like, okay, this is gonna be the best album we've done on the show.
Hopefully. And I was when I went in, I think one of the reasons why I accepted this a lot more than many of the albums we've done is quite a few of the albums have been like there's these groups that have been so established or singers that are so established that you expect like a whole lot from them, and then when you realize they do something like meh, then you're disappointed and let down. Now Paramore is still a band that you really you expect something from them, but like they're I don't think I wasn't really let down by it because, like, I guess I had the mind. I foolishly had the mindset at one time where I was like, "Oh, anything Paramore does is awesome."
Yeah.
Because if you have that mindset, you're gonna be like, "Well, What if they have one song that's just really bad and you're like, oh, that ruins the experience? But I didn't get that from this album. And I didn't, and this mindset, I didn't want to be like, oh, they have, everything's awesome. I was like, because the last few albums we did, I thought, oh, David Bowie's is going to be awesome. And then it tanked. And then I did the same thing with Justin Timberlake's album, where I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be epic. And I was slightly impressed. I wasn't, it kind of got ruined by the length of the whole album and the songs. But then when it came to Paramore, I was like, okay, now do I want to get really psyched about it? Because the last time I did, I got disappointed by other people.
Yeah.
So
I actually didn't know what to expect. Like, I knew who Paramore were, and I knew what they were capable of, but I was like, okay, this is my first album that I would have to listen to Paramore, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what to expect, and I was actually blown away, so.
Yeah. Just delivered on all levels, and there wasn't really a song on here, like, where I said to myself, why do you have this on here? Yeah. I mean, I agree, I see what you mean, like, with Future being a little longer, but seeing as it's the last track.
Yeah, the last track, you can actually forgive it a bit, because it's like, okay, mm-hmm. this is, you're ending the album. Alright, whatever.
Yeah. So I wasn't upset with that. But, the album is very versatile. At first, I thought it was going to be an album where it would be like the everything was repetitive. But thankfully, it was not. I mean, yeah, you'll have some songs that are in the same key. But if you change it up, like how you perform it, then you get a completely different song. So, big props to Paramore. So, what? Any final notes from you?
Only to say that I reckon I'll listen to this album again, relatively.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely, I'm putting definitely the first 12 tracks in my heavy rotation.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, long album. But it is one of those albums where it's so versatile, you can go, alright, you're switching it up now, that's good.
And I didn't even realize I went through 60 minutes of song, or album.
I know, it was like, you're done? Alright, what the hell? Oh, wow, I wasted it. Oh, not wasted, but I listened to this for an hour, wow.
It's like, wow, that went by, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And the brain thing about an album, you can listen to it again. So, and
oh,
so,
yeah, you listen to it again, and you want to listen to it again, rather
yeah.
than, I have to listen to this for a podcast, no.
It's not like with Justin's album, where you're like, oh my god, I already went through it once.
Or so Nick really Cave and the Bad Seeds, remember that? I remember that.
I don't think either of us got through that one. So, alright, so, let's start with you on the rating, because I'm usually the one who starts it, but I want you to do it this week.
Yes. I will give it 5 last hopes.
5 last hopes?
5 Ooh. Last hopes, and that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. 5 last hopes. You can tell what songs are favorite by what our review is. And then for me, I would say, drum roll please. 5 Ankle Biters. That's right, folks. We've got our first perfect album of the Rough Cuts music podcast.
Yeah, mark it down. April 12th. Hey, April 12th, 12th episode. Look at that.
What do you know? Yeah, good karma all around it. Paramore, congratulations. You are the first album in our collection to have a perfect 5-star rating.
Do I have a
by
sound,
both of us.
Do I have a sound clip that I could play to celebrate?
Let's both pull up sound clips.
Right,
I've got my handy for once.
What do so. I have? Oh, it's not queued up. It's not queuing up. I have the perfect sound clip if it wants to load at some point today. This is perfect soundboarding, everyone.
Yay! I wish I had a computer, actual computer soundboard, but it doesn't always work that way. So, congratulations, Paramore! You are now a perfect album for Rough Cuts. So, I could just do random. Let's see what happens when I press random.
Awesome. I had this.
Okay.
Paramore, you are the first perfect album on Rough Cuts. I'm keeping that there and calling it perfect.
The perfect sound.
You are now renamed to Perfect Album rather than Jake Sound.
Alright. Now, when will that happen again? I don't know, but...
Actually, I'm hoping that an album in 2 weeks will be like that.
Well, let's hope that happens. So.
2-3 weeks. I'm hoping that we get I hope that we get another perfect album. I'm hoping.
All right. Well,
speaking of perfect... No.
All right. Well, thank you, Paramore, for making such an awesome album.
Yes.
And now, let's go to the part of the show where I act like an idiot.
She's great, and her gay friend is really cool, too.
Well, that ended perfectly. I didn't realize how I edited that. This is called Jake's Crazy K-Pop Moments, the part of the show where we talk about K-Pop. Yes, Korean pop music. And the music that Kim Jong-un hates.
Doesn't Kim Jong-un hate everything?
He hates everything. It's like, I did not order anchovies on my pizza! Blow you up! Blow you up!
Blow you up!
What? Damn you, Windows! Damn you, Windows 8! Damn you, Windows 8!
Damn you! I want my start button. Blow it up.
Where's my start? I press this button. I go to a weird home screen. What the hell? Sorry.
Oh, we love you. Actually, we don't.
We love but hate you at the same time, Kim Jong-un.
Love to hate. There we go.
You give us so much comedy that... Oh my god, there's this... meme where he holds up a Uno card. He holds up it. It's oh my lord! No! Stop it! Thank you. Shut up. No, that was this company calling me, and I hate when they do that. It's once a month.
That has to be my new ringtone message tone. Anyway. I've got it in my playlist now, so.
Awesome. But, so he holds up an Uno card, and it says draw two on it, and he's like, hey, America, draw two, and then it shows a picture of Obama, he's like, draw four, bitch.
Oh.
And then it shows Kim Jong-un crying, like,
Aw, Kim Jong-un doesn't have a draw four to put on top of it?
No, because ours is a wild card, we also changed it to red. And he wanted it in green, so he got pissed off. Anyway, so we go into our K-pop moment, part with South Korea, which is the actual part of the Korea we love, because they have some awesome songs that come out of it. This week, I'm talking about probably one of the most famous K-pop idols out there. Her name is BoA. Now, this girl has been doing music since she was about, I think, 12 or 11 years old. And she's now in her early 20s, so which is weird to me because she's already been doing this for 10 years or more, around this, and she debuted around the same time as Britney Spears.
She's only really young in her videos, by the way.
And she's only 23 or 4 now. I don't know what her actual age is, but. I'm like, she's already done 10 years. She's still got so much more stuff ahead of her. Yeah. And she's just... This is the girl... The reason I'm doing her this week and not a new song from somebody, and I really haven't been doing it recently anyway.
She's 26.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, she's in her late 20s. Never mind.
And she's 0.6 meters high. Anyway.
I don't know if that's... Wait, 1.6 meters. Meters 3 feet. So, 5, 5. Oh, I get so. So 2 meters would be 6 feet. So she's short. Anyways, I'm trying to remember my factoring methods from
weird
science.
Detour.
Yeah. What was I saying? Shoot. Okay. So, unlike other artists, this is the artist that got me into K-pop. Like, they're, like, not Girls' Generation, Big Bang. None of those people got me in. BoA was the first one, which, interesting name, by the way. It's short for BoA Kwan. And most artists, or Kwan BoA, because it's in reverse in an Asian language, most artists, they'll use only their, for us, it'd be their last name. Because there are, like, the names that, the family names that are given are, there's, like, everyone's pretty much a Kwan or a Park or a whatever. Because it's part of a part of a dynasty names.
Yep.
And whatever, like, family you were born into, you keep that name and stuff. Like, you know, like how we use, like, there's a lot of people named Smith in the States. It's just, it's like that, but it's more important over there than it is here because there's so many people here named Smith. And there's also so many John Smiths in the world. It's like, it should be a crime if anyone names someone John Smith. No offense to my friend who's named John Smith. Two friends who are named John Smith, actually. I forgot. I know two people named John Smith. Which, if you're listening, John Smith, hi to both of you. How you doing? Congratulations on graduating.
Congratulations on being John Smith.
Yes. Hope you save Pocahontas. The three songs that I have from BoA, two are from her most recent album, and then one is arguably her most popular song. I didn't do any of her early stuff because, first off, I can't get any of it on iTunes. And second, I got more into her later stuff, so that's what I'm going to pimp more. The first song is her lead single for her new album called Only One, which is actually written by her and composed, which is very rare in the K-pop community. It's not many artists there write their own, unless you're a rapper, then you write your own music. But she composed it herself, and it has a very interesting piano line in it that's constantly played through the entire song. And in the music video, she's actually backed up by the same dance crew that is dancing for Madonna right now. So, and they're only on that video. They're not they don't perform with her live. I like it when a K-pop artist doesn't go in the stereotype where it's like there's only Koreans dancing backup with us. No, there's Big Bang has done this. She has done this. 21 has done this, where it's more. It's a more diverse cast that's in the video than just. It's promoting diversity instead of just like, more, us Asians are more superior than you. I enjoy the dance version of this video a whole lot more than the drama version because the drama version puts me to sleep. This one, and she's this. I don't know if you did you see this song that I posted?
I saw all of them, yes.
Okay.
Except I had to. I turned Girls on Top off because I was bored.
Okay. Anyway, so. But. What did you think about her dancing in Only One?
Only One. I thought that was. Actually, I enjoyed the dancing a whole lot. I think. I didn't get why she was alone in that street. Plus, that street looked way too fake for my liking.
Oh, it is. Duh.
whatever street looks like that, it's like, that has to be cardboard or something.
A lot of the music videos that artists, that K-pop artists do are all the same. They just recraft it a little bit. But I'm pretty sure that music video, or that music video background was also used in I Got a Boy.
Oh, 2007. Oh, wait, different.
Oh, so sorry. No, no, I really enjoy her dancing because she's very story driven in her dancing. And like the solo part was very interesting for her and the other dude that danced with her. Don't know the dude's name. It's just she still kept her ability to like sing and dance at the same time, which is very hard to do in anything you do. Like, there's a lot of artists out there that they will prefer not to dance in a live performance, because your breathing technique is changed when you're dancing and singing, because you'll hear deep breaths a lot more, and it's not really that pleasing to the ear. But Boa, on the other hand, I've heard many live versions of this song, and she actually trained at a young age to sing and undergo cardio at the same time. So what she would do is she would sing and then run on a track, so that she would train herself to be able to master her breathing technique, so that she would not get too tired, and still be able to keep a steady vocal line.
Yeah. So is that why we don't do rough cuts dancing?
No.
It's also sorry.
It's like, hi, and our new album this week is Paramore. But she did that at a very young age. She's getting to the point where it's harder to do now because she's getting older. But she's not like too old where it's not possible to do for her, because let's face it, she's only 26. But she's starting to get to that age bracket where it's starting to like tone down a bit. All right, so this was only one is kind of a homage to her original stuff that she did when she was younger. Her next song, The Shadow.
Which, when that loaded up, I thought I was watching Katy Perry's Wide Awake. Just putting that out there.
It's interesting. It's also one of those only SM videos, and SM Entertainment's her company, that actually thinks outside the box. Because most of the SM videos out there are only dance videos, like we've talked about earlier with when we were talking about Demi. Which was funny because she didn't dance in her video. For this video, there's actually some sort of like, it's not, I don't know if it was really more of a story than just like, oh, what's she doing? So like there was a side thing going on to her actually performing in the song rather than just watching her dance the whole way through, which I was like, props to you, SM, for actually doing something different. The song has a little mixed emotion for me, because at one point I really like the chorus where she's she transcends down in the chorus, her voice, and that's really cool. And then her dancing's a little if you see the dance, you'll know that that's what song it came from, where she puts her hands on her hips and her shoulders go up, and then she rolls her head to the other side and puts the other shoulder up. I'm like, okay. What are you trying to shrug someone off or something? Shrug. No, I don't want to listen to you. Shrug. And shrug. But other than that, though, I still enjoy that song. But it's not my favorite one from her of all time. But her third one that I'm going to talk about is her most popular song, and that's Girls on Top. There are three versions of this song, by the way.
Three?
Yes, there are. There is the version that I linked to.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Version. Whoops. I bumped that by accident.
Oops. what was it? Okay. There is a Korean version, which I linked here. There's also an English version, but I didn't link it because it's not really that popular, and it's
not that much English. Kind of.
No. Oh, no. No, no. There's a lot of English to it. But, it's just not my favorite of hers, and I don't really want to link it, but and I'll actually say a little more on that in a little bit, but and the third version's in Chinese. So yeah, just throwing that out. Skewer.
This episode of Rough Cuts will be available in three different formats: audio, video, and Chinese.
and in
and
book
Indian
form,
so. And
And we're thinking about doing Hindu soon.
Yeah.
Which actually, it's funny because Indians speak English. So. Anyway, so Girls on Top. It's arguably her most popular song out there, which kind of put I wouldn't say put her on the map as like an Asian Britney Spears, but it's very it like show it is very different than what she does, and it's more it's just a very unique song. Like it's more of like a hype song, and it's for if you're a girl, then hey, listen to the song because it's gonna get you psyched because you're on top, apparently. And I was kind of weirded out by the song. It was called "Girls on Top." I'm like, I hope she's not talking about sex.
Not that age.
No, of course not. She's only what, 20? I don't know. But I mean, I thought it was a really good song, and the English version's not bad. It's just once you hear like one version of the song, you hear another version, you're just like, which is a problem for a lot of K-pop songs that either go into the Japanese market or the American market. If you convert a song to that market, it's not always a guarantee that it's going to do well. But there are some that do well. Like Girls' Generation has done many Japanese songs, and BoA has done many Japanese songs as well. Even some conversions from her original stuff that proved her to be a success in that market. And so she's both as equally successful in both Korean and Japanese. She did do an English attempt back in 2008. She released a full English album, and it features this song that I just think is the most botched up English song on the planet. It's a song called "Eat You Up." And
of course, she's not talking about sex there.
Oh, of course not. I will eat you up alive. The lyrics to this song are so freaking simple that I can't remember it. Brilliant. It's so simple. I can't even remember the lyrics of this song. But the chorus is, I'll eat you up, your love, I'll eat you up, so yum yum. That's no joke. She goes, so yum yum.
Ew.
Yeah. Can't get enough. I think I'm in love. Okay. And thank you, BoA, for that. Eat you up, BoA. Lyrics. Because there's a few parts of this song that just like, okay, because it seems like the person who wrote it was originally Korean, and then tried to write it in English, which didn't quite go well for that person.
No.
So, it's the first line is, "When I first saw you, I knew nothing like it used to be. Boy, you have got to be the finest thing in history. The way I feel inside, it's just so hard to understand. You feed my appetite in ways I can't explain."
Ew.
Yeah. So yeah. It is kind of sexual.
It is kind of that, yeah.
But the video that she has for it, her dancing in the video, holy crap, is it good. Like, she has this style where she's like, it's really urban hip hop, where it's, when she was younger, it was just like, let's go, like no holding back. And she's also singing at the same time. I'm like, how are you doing that? It was just like her first song for the American artist, which it really didn't, for the American audience. I don't know why I said artist, which that one really didn't go well. Her second single, however, it was called "I Did It for Love." That one was better because it was actually produced and written by an American. It was actually produced by Sean Garrett, who is, I don't think he's Interscope. I think he's, I don't remember what he's on, but he's an American producer, and he is featured on the song as well. Way too much autotune on that song, though. There's no autotune that needs to be on that song. No. But yeah, so go check this one out. Her name's BoA, BoA.
There you go.
I'm serious. So, look for that. And also, I do want to promote one thing that I think we both equally enjoy, and I think you all enjoy as well. You might remember a few months ago, we had on the show Brian Ibbett, who is
famous for... I can't get to it.
Famous for...
Two great, and her gay friend is really cool too.
Famous for that. And you might also, if you know him, you might also know about a musician named Andrew Allen. He is a jazz pianist or jazz musician that is really good. He did Smooth Federation last year, which is a collection of Star Trek songs that are giving a jazz flavor, and they're really, really good. And he's really brilliant in how he thinks up this stuff. I'm just like, you know, that's something like you could hear it in a restaurant, and you would be like, oh, this sets the mood really well. And then if you're a nerd, you listen to it and you're like, wait, isn't that from Next Generation? Holy crap, it is. I'm going to go ahead and if you heard that and you know Brian and you liked Brian and you really want to, and you like him, if you like him so much, you should do this. You should go to Kickstarter right now.
Yeah.
And search Free Play. Free Play is a video game jazz tribute album, which is also done by Andrew Allen, which is actually I think the actual title for the album is going to be Free Play, the Andrew Allen Trio, which features Andrew Allen on piano, Brian House on bass, and Truman House on drums. And it's an all video game tribute album where it features songs from all of your favorite video games. And it's being produced by Brian himself on Coverville Records, which will be the second album on the label. And it's already backed. They've reached their goal of $11,585. It's currently at $13,838. But doesn't mean you all need to stop funding it, because you know what they say: the more you give, the more you get back. And it's just this seems like a great idea. Like, have you backed this yet?
No, I haven't backed it yet.
Do you plan on backing it?
I plan on it. Yes.
Yes, it's there, and you have plenty of time too. It's 7 days to go, for the project to be over, and they've got quite a few awesome things. Like you can, which one did I select? I don't remember which one I selected. It's great. I should know this. I think I did the $35 one where you get the digital and the physical copy, and then you get like the entire 10 postcard collection illustrated by Brian Dunaway. So, oh, and signed by Andrew Allen. That's cool too. But here's the cool thing. Here's why I'm promoting it a little bit. It's not, or what's interesting is where they're recording this. They're not recording it in Colorado, which I think they did last time. I'm not completely sure. They are coming to Franklin, Tennessee to record at the Wildwood Recording Studios. The awesome thing for me about that is that studio is 40 minutes away from where I live. So I could possibly sit in, maybe. Brian, could you work that out somehow? I mean, if it's going to be a problem, I understand. But, you know, just saying. Y'all should check it out. It's the Free Play, a video game jazz tribute. Just go to kickstarter.com/project/Coverville, and you should find a link to go there as well. So yes. So that's, yes. Should we talk about some pre-orders real quick?
We shall. Next week we are actually doing Michael Bublé.
Michael, I thought it was Booble.
It's Bubble.
Bubble.
Michael Bubble.
And yes, it was 35 that I did, so. Michael Bubble.
Michael Bubble. I'm worried because it's the pop genre and it shouldn't be there.
No, that's a little worrisome.
It is. Loved. Oh, God. What is this, Maroon 5? Yes, you got the reference. Huzzah.
She will be loved. Fall Out Boy has their new album coming out April 16th. I've been obsessed with their current single, My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark. Like, I just thought it was a really awesome song. And I'm kind of looking forward to this. I've never thought I'd say that, but I'm actually looking forward to this album. Huh. Which I never really had too much of a care for Fall of Ball before, because it was kind of like too... It kind of felt too commercial, but now they're doing this thing where they're saying they're not doing commercial, or they have some that are commercial, but most of it's not. So, props to you, Fall Out Boy, and I can't wait to hear it.
And pre-orders aren't working for me. That's just fantastic.
Well, while you're looking that up, Kid Cudi's also releasing an album next week at the same time as Fall Out Boy, which is called Indicud. What? Indicud, that's what it's called. Hey, what do you know?
It is.
What a name.
Snoop Lion!
Woo! Why, Snoop Lion? Why?
Look at that album art, by the way.
Yeah, it has a reggae feel to it. Yeah. Reggae, there we go.
Reggae.
I said reggae.
it has a real reggae feel to it.
Reggae. That name is actually reggae. Oh! Anyways. Amy Grant is releasing her new album May 14th in the Christian gospel genre. So, featuring James Taylor on one of the songs and her husband Vince Gill on one of the songs, which is very interesting. I haven't really heard that much of Vince in the past, and if you don't know who Vince Gill is, he's a country singer.
So. Stop everything. Queens of Stone Age is coming out with a new album.
Okay, then. DNA by Little Mix, the British girl group that won X Factor a few years ago, is releasing their new album May 28th. And let's see, there's one more I can find. Do you have another one?
Yeah, Queens of Stone Age is coming back after a hiatus, so. This is going to be fantastic. It's coming out May 31st.
Should be one more coming. They got a few more new albums on the list that they put on here finally. But is there anyone on here that I know? All these albums I don't even know. So, I guess the last one I'll pimp this one. I've said it before, I'll do it again. Fantasia has a new album coming out April 23rd. She was the winner of season 3 of American Idol. And it's a new R&B and soul album, and I've not really listened to much of her stuff. I kind of want to, so I can... She's also... one of the songs is featuring Kelly Rowland and Missy Elliott.
Huh.
So, check that out, folks.
That would be interesting.
And that is going to do it, I think.
That is going to do it. Yes. I'm going to say we normally record this show every Thursday at around 4 p.m. Mountain Time at tiny.cc/RCLive. Normally.
Yes.
Regularly.
Normally this week, but next week. Hopefully for sure.
Hopefully.
As far as I know, I don't think my job's going to keep me there until 5:30. Hopefully. Let's not hope that don't happen. But if you would like to follow us on the show, remember, you just said it. Hold on, sorry. Our contact details for the show, you can visit us at our blog, roughcutspodcast.blogspot.com. You can also email us at roughcutspodcast@gmail.com. If you have a topic of note you want us to talk about, if you want to have an album that you would like us to review, or any other nonsense, nude photos, we will definitely take those, at roughcutspodcast@gmail.com. There's also a video feed, Dale, is that correct?
That is correct. You can find that at youtube.com/user/chefwonderdc. And we are on iTunes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You can also follow Dale on Twitter at...
twitter.com/TheDaleCampbell. And you can follow Jake at Twitter at...
twitter.com/TheJakeWesley.
Why did we do or, this swapping?
I don't know. We're trying something different. Or you can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/user/Kavo350. And remember, for Rough Cuts, it's spelled R-U-F-F, not R-U-F-F, not R-O-U-G-H.
We should get both.
I wonder if we could...
Anyway,
I should do that. All right, but folks, that's going to do it for us this week.
That is
good. thank you so much for listening in. If you've downloaded this, or if you're listening live, if you are.
Yeah, the one viewer that won't reveal who they are.
Yes. When will we find out who? I don't know.
It will thank always for... remain a mystery.
Yes. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Jake, for rescheduling around me.
That's perfectly fine. We will see you all next time, and...
any final words?
Final words, yes.
Bye now.
Bye. Why is that playing?
I don't know.
It's broken. There we go.